Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. As you're turning there, one announcement. You may have noticed red rose over here to my right. You might not have noticed it because it seems like there's one every Sunday, but that's a good thing. Like Andy said last week, I have no idea which number this one is. But I believe we ended up with 14 babies this year, and this is around 12, I think. I think two more to go. Rose, in honor of Avery Michael Migrin, born to Eric and Tracy on September 24th, Tracy gets a special prize. Avery was 10 pounds, 5 ounces, and yeah, whoa, 22 inches long. And for those who may be visiting, Tracy's about this high, small little girl, and so she gets some kind of prize. But they're already home. Mom and baby are doing well. Cute little guy. So congratulations to the migrants. James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes to understand and receive your word. We believe we hold in our hands the very word of God, the inspired, inerrant word that's good for us always. So open our hearts to receive it, change our wills to obey it, and may Jesus Christ be glorified through it. We pray it in his name. Amen. Whenever I hear the word truth, I'm often reminded of Jack Nicholson's classic line in the movie A Few Good Men. When he's told by the prosecutor, "I want the truth," he responds, "You can't handle the truth." Little did he know that he was spotting off a line that was not only classic in that film, but a line that pretty much sums up the culture that you and I live in. And another Nicholson movie, one of his lines is this: "I have never lied to you. I have always told you some version of the truth." Well, truth is one of the hallmarks of the Holy Scriptures, is it not? David wrote in Psalm 51, verse 6, "Behold, you, God, delight in truth in the inward being." Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In fact, Jesus declared in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Apostle Paul gave instruction to his church when he said in Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." If you are to do a concordance search on the word truth, and you were to print out all of the verses in the Bible that deal with truth, you'd have a handful of pages. The Bible addresses it often. And I think almost every writer and playwright will sooner or later address the issue of truth. One of my favorite authors since I was a little boy, reading Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Mark Twain's always been one of my favorite authors, and he has the ability to say things quite well. He said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. That's actually pretty profound. He also said, this is my favorite one, "A man is never more truthful than when he acknowledges himself as a liar." Once again, think about it. Twain was a smarter man than we give him credit for. Well, our scripture verse this morning, it's about truth and truthfulness and honesty, integrity. So let's jump in. I want you to see, first of all, the call for complete truthfulness from Jesus and James. The call for complete truthfulness from Jesus and James. Now, as we've reminded you many times as we've gone through this epistle, James is the younger half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He grew up in the same home in Nazareth. And I think many of the things that Jesus probably taught during his ministry were hashed out over the dinner table as they sat around together and discussed spiritual things from time to time. Furthermore, by the time this epistle is written, some of the Gospels are already out there. Undoubtedly, the Gospel of Mark is already in circulation, perhaps even the Gospel of Matthew, and James would have read both of those. What he writes here is very close to what he heard, or would have heard many times perhaps, from the mouth and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Turn back with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. Now, as soon as I give you that reference, Matthew 5, you should know that we're at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving to us the true intent of the Ten Commandments, of the law. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, it's not just outward observance to the law, it's also a matter of the heart. And if your heart is messed up, it doesn't make any difference whether you've kept the law outwardly. For example, he says, you know that the law says you shall not kill. And of course, I don't want you to kill, but it's deeper than that. If you hate in your heart, you've broken this law. He says, you've heard the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. And certainly I would not want you to do that, but it's much deeper than that. If you lust in your heart for another person, you've broken that law. So in that context, he gives us what we want to look at today. Matthew 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. Now, when Jesus says, you've heard it said, he's reflecting on some of the Old Testament scriptures. Probably Leviticus 19:12. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. That, of course, harkened back to the third commandment, Exodus 27. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 5 is this. You've heard these scriptures time and time again, and you go through great lengths to make sure you don't outwardly break them. But in the spirit of the law, in your heart, you are. He's actually addressing a common problem among the Jewish population of his day. The Jewish population at the time of Jesus and at the time of James had this elaborate system for getting around telling the truth. They played these word games. And not only did they play these word games, and I'll explain that to you in a minute, they did it all the time. In other words, their daily speech, their daily conversations were full of these oaths, these what James calls swearing. And I'll tell you what that is in just a moment as well. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. So in normal everyday speech, they would use this frivolous system to purposely deceive someone else concerning what they were saying, whether it was truthful or not. It became a game for them. Now, the Jews in Jesus' day and James' day would never use God's name in an oath. They would never confirm the truth using God's name. That would be something that they wouldn't think of doing. But they would swear by just about anything else. As Jesus said, by heaven, by earth, by the hairs of your head, and so on. In fact, to see it even more clearly, if you're in Matthew, turn to chapter 23. Jesus actually addresses the issue twice in the book of Matthew. In chapter 23, he's addressing the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. You remember chapter 23 because Jesus keeps saying, woe to you, seven times, woe to you, all right? Chapter 23, verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides, you say. If anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Well, you get a hint of their system here. In other words, they would say, well, I swear by the temple. And when they just swear by the temple, well, that wasn't really binding. But if you swore by the gold on the temple, then you had to keep your word. If you swear by the altar, well, that wasn't really true. But if you swear by the sacrifice on the altar, then you had to keep your word. And Jesus confronts them, doesn't he? He says, listen, if you swear by the temple, you're swearing by the one who dwells in the temple. That's by God. If you swear by the heavens, you swear by the one who lives in the heavens, God. You swear by the earth, you swear by the creator of the earth. You swear by Jerusalem, you're swearing by the king of that city who is the Lord. In other words, Jesus is saying you're trying to avoid the name of God, but instead you are confronting the person of who God is. In essence, what they're trying to do is avoid having to tell the truth. Now, if that's a little confusing, let me try to make it very plain to you. What they were doing, playing games with words, you used to do as a child. Every one of you. Don't tell me you didn't. I know you did. I got secret information. Someone would say to you, is that true? And you'd say, cross my heart and hope to die. Not one of the brighter oaths we would ever take, by the way. Cross my heart and hope to die. And that was true as long as you didn't have your hand behind your back and have your fingers crossed. Because if you had your fingers crossed behind your back, then that negated cross your heart and hope to die and so on. As we get older, we sometimes do the same thing they did, actually using God's name. We'll say things like, well, I swear to God. I swear to God. Or we'll say, honest to God. Actually, that's a pretty dangerous oath to take. Because whenever we use God's name, we're calling God to judge the truthfulness of what we're saying. And oftentimes when we say that, we give no thought to the fact that we're asking God to come into the situation. Well, this is the type of thing that Jesus was confronting. All those fancy tricks and word games. And Jesus said, listen, just let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Don't do all that stuff. Now, we come to James. James says again, the same basic thing. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. He starts off that verse with the phrase, but above all, but above all. That simply indicates that this is a new thought. Perhaps we would translate it this way. Before I forget. You often see in the epistles, especially Paul's epistles, that near the end of the letter, before he signs off, there's a few encouragements or exhortations he always gives at the end. You know, before I forget to say this to you, here's what I need to say. And that's what James is doing. He says, but above all, brothers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking to the church. What he's telling us is that this deceptive, frivolous system of oaths, of trying to get out of the truth, was also found among the believers of the day as well, that it had crept into the church. And he's going, before I close this letter, which is written to believers, I need to address an issue that you're not addressing. First, he says negatively, do not swear. Do not swear. Literally, stop swearing. Stop doing it. I know that it's happening. I know that it happens in your midst. I know it's all around you. Stop doing it. Now, just to make things clear, he's not talking here about profanity. Okay? He's not talking about profanity. When you and I use the word swear, we're talking about people who use inappropriate words, profane words, nasty words. That's not what James is addressing here, but that doesn't let you off the hook. Paul addresses it quite well in Ephesians chapter 4 and said there should be no profane words that come out of your mouth. The issue here is using an oath to confirm or give an escape hatch for telling the truth. That's what he's talking about. Do you remember when the Apostle Peter was in the courtyard after Jesus was arrested and taken before the high priest, and he is confronted with the fact that he'd been with Jesus, and he denies it three times? Well, the third time, when he's confronted and someone says, you were with him, Matthew 26:72 says, and again he denied it with an oath. He denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. Now, what do we see Peter doing? Peter's taking an oath, and he's lying, as though if I give it an oath, it's got to be true, right? That's what we're talking about here when we look at James. Secondly, we're not talking about judicial oaths. We're not talking about judicial oaths. We're not talking about oaths made in a court. When you go to court and they ask you to raise your hand and promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and so on. We're not talking about an oath of office, for example, an inauguration where the president puts his hand on the Bible and raises his hand to promises to obey the laws of the land and so on. Now, some good Christians, for example, the Anabaptists, some of those groups believe that this forbids all oaths, including judicial oaths, but I think it's pushing the text a little further than what James intended. The reason I say that is that Jesus allowed himself to be put under oath. When he was before the Sanhedrin, he was actually put under an oath to tell the truth. Are you the Messiah? And he essentially said, yes, I am. There are other times that oaths and vows are permitted. Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. What is James talking about in this verse? He's talking about telling the truth in everyday life. He's talking about leaving the name of God out of your truth-telling, and which is essentially using his name in vain. Tell the truth. That's what he's trying to say. So negatively, he says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Then positively, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Almost identical to what Jesus said. He says, be of such a character that when you say yes, it means yes. Have such a character that when you say no, it means no. have such an integrity that when you say yes, it means yes. Be a person of such integrity that when you say no, it means no. Did you say this? Well, it all depends what you mean by this. No. Did you say this? Yes. Did you see this happen? No. Do you know about this? Yes. No oaths, no honest to God, no swear to God, no cross my heart and hope to die. It's unneeded because your character, your integrity is such that your yes means yes and your no means no. This needs to be preached in the hall of government, does it not? Thank you. What do we often hear? What do we often hear? We hear politicians say this: I may have misspoke. You ever heard that? I don't even think misspoke is a word. It wasn't a word when I was a kid, but I may have misspoke. Wouldn't you like someone to stand up in front of the microphone and say, listen, it was a bold-faced lie and you caught me? I don't think the media would know what to do with that. Somebody's telling the truth. What do we do? James says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, period. Why? That you may not fall under condemnation. Now, what's that mean? Well, two possibilities are usually given. When you're not completely truthful as God's child, when you use God's name frivolously, you open yourselves to immediate punishment. Immediate punishment. God will respond to believers who lie. It greatly offends your Father, who is the truth, when his children lie. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that the constant use of God's name frivolously, or the constant habit of lying, may reveal an unregenerate heart. And a heart in someone who is in danger of eternal judgment. But either way, James' warning is to be taken seriously. All right. Secondly, this morning, multiple applications concerning truthfulness. Multiple applications concerning truthfulness. There's a lot in this one verse, a lot of serious applications, and I narrowed it down to five that I want to give you quickly this morning. Number one, using God's name in vain breaks the Ten Commandments. Using God's name in vain breaks the Ten Commandments. You say, Pastor Dave, I know that. Goes without saying, I memorized the Ten Commandments. You know, it may go without saying, but the problem in our world today, we're not obeying it. We're not obeying it. Believers who would not think of breaking thou shalt not kill break the third commandment. Believers who wouldn't think of thou shalt not commit adultery will break the third commandment. Let me tell you, the number one way that the third commandment is broken every single day all over the place. Say three-word phrase. Oh my God. You ever heard someone say that? Oh my God. You ever said it yourself? It's catchy. In fact, we've come up with a shorthand for it on the internet, haven't we? You'll see OMG on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter. Listen, that's frivolously using God's name in vain. Why would you want to reduce an infinite, almighty, sovereign God who loved you enough to die on the cross for you to some trite, meaningless expression? That's what James is trying to get across in this one verse. This one verse. Don't do it. Don't swear by God's name. Don't swear by anything else. But it breaks one of the commandments. Number two, to break from your culture is hard work. To break from your culture is hard work. Now, that's the immediate context of both the teaching of Jesus and the teaching of James. That's what's happening to those that they are teaching. The habit of making frivolous oaths permeated that culture. When you went down to the market in the days of Jesus or in the days of James, and you listened to the conversation, every conversation you got into, someone was making an oath. Somebody was swearing by something that what they were telling was true. If you went to the schools in that day, you'd hear kids on the playground using those oaths, swearing by something that what they're saying is true. You went into the homes of the people and you listened to spouses talk to each other, you'd find the same thing. What James is saying here is this: stop it. It had crept into the church. Believers were using the name of God frivolously, swearing frivolously. James said, stop, stop. Now you might say, but Pastor Dave, everybody's doing it. Do you remember what you used to say to your kids when they said that to you? Remember that? Something about a cliff? Listen, cultural habits are habits and they're hard to break. Bad habits are habits and they're hard to break. To break the habit is difficult, hard work. It means you have to think before you open your mouth and you let words come out. But it doesn't mean you don't work at it. Thirdly, your challenge: impeccable integrity and truthfulness. Your challenge: impeccable integrity and truthfulness. Your challenge is this: when you say yes, it means yes, and you can depend on it. When you say no, it means no, you can depend on it. Your challenge is to have such impeccable, Christ-like conversation and character that your word, yes or no, is not doubted. The word that comes out of your mouth is your bond, and anyone can depend on it. Listen, that reflects Jesus. Mark Twain was right. If you tell the truth, you can have a bad memory. You see, if you don't tell the truth, if you're always telling lies, you got to keep a catalog somewhere of what you said to whom and to who and who or whom, whichever, and what it was you said. You got to remember, because when you repeat the story the second time, it better coincide with what you said the first time. And you know, when you reach 64 years of age, your memory's pretty bad anyway, so you better not lie. What keeps us from telling the truth? Our pride. Our pride. What keeps us from telling the truth? Fear. Fear. What keeps us from telling the truth? Selfishness. Selfishness. You know, that's a great list of bad character traits. Tell the truth. Pursue the integrity of Jesus Christ. Number four, you are accountable to God for every word. You're accountable to God for every word. Does that frighten you? Does that frighten you? It frightens me. But it won't if you're completely committed to telling the truth always. Listen to what Jesus taught, Matthew 12. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's pretty sobering verse, is it not? Pretty sobering verse. Here's what your prayer ought to be every morning when you get out of bed. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now you might argue with me, well, Pastor Dave, I've been saved. I've been forgiven of all my sins, so why should I worry about what comes out of my mouth? There was a time in my life when I was a sinner, but I recognized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who came and died on the cross for me. And I bowed before him and asked him to be my Lord and Savior, and he gave me the gift of eternal life, and he forgave me of all my sins. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. What difference does it make how I talk? Well, listen, when you fail to tell the truth, you betray the name of the one who saved you. You betray the name of the one who saved you. He's holy. He's holy. He's truth. He has a right to expect the same from you. And he has a right to punish you if you get out of line. You're his child. That's his right. Furthermore, if you're truly saved, and that may be the issue, if you're truly saved, you'll develop a passion to please your Savior with every action and every word. If you truly are saved, you'll develop a passion to please Jesus Christ in everything you say and everything you do. Number five, the Christian life is distinctly different. The Christian life is distinctly different. That's what James and Jesus were calling believers to, a distinctly different life. What does that mean? Does that mean you're odd? No, not necessarily. Although your friends might think it odd that you no longer want to go to the bar and get drunk. Does that mean you dress differently? Not necessarily. Although modesty and decorum are part of following Jesus, the saying that you have on your t-shirt may no longer be appropriate once Jesus saves you. Does it mean that your house and your car are different? Not necessarily, but it may mean that you'd rather give more rather than upgrade. Then what does distinctly different mean? Here's what it means. Your character, who you are on the inside, your character increasingly reflects the person of Jesus Christ instead of your peers and your culture. Whenever there's a conflict between your culture and what Jesus said, increasingly Jesus wins. Whenever there's a conflict between your peers and what Jesus said, increasingly Jesus wins. It's not an external thing, but it's a deep inside thing. You continuously have a love and a passion for truthfulness. A love and a passion for integrity. Be like Jesus. This my song. In the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge of your word on this Lord's Day. As we reflect on it, Father, may we do more than just reflect on it, but may we live it. May we live it. May the challenge of your word be such that we would take great delight that what comes out of our mouth is pleasing to you. That, Father, it's not just a frivolous word, but we think about what we say because we're a child of God and we want every word to bring honor to you. Now, Father, I admit, we all admit, that's a tall order. So easy to speak and not think. We do it all the time. So, Father, help us to discipline ourselves so that nothing that comes out of our mouth compromises who we are before you, and nothing that comes out of our mouth in any way would be less than true. So, Father, may you be pleased to make us what you want to make us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and